Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Kelly Rossman McKinney, Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. We're going to do a show, Scott. It doesn't seem like it a lot of times, but
it's cash. We're very cash.
That's right. It happens. It's Friday afternoon. Got into the building today, and there were only four people here, so it shows what happens on the Friday before Labor Day,
which
right?
is three more than were in my office when I left this afternoon. You know, the benevolent boss, and I'm often referred to with a B word, but benevolent isn't
benevolent
the word that
the
comes
one.
To mind. I let everybody go at three, and at four, most of them were still there.
Well,
what the heck? Go,
we talk
get
about
out of
B
here.
Words. How about two of my favorite B words when they're used together, as in Bill Ballinger?
Oh, let's see if we can... if we can beat him on the news.
Our first guest, Billy, the editor of Inside Michigan Politics. Hello, Bill. How are you?
Great, Jack. How you doing?
Early happy Labor Day.
Yes, absolutely. 3 days to go. We're just warming up.
Well, Kelly Rossman McKinney is here. And, Kelly, you might as well tell us this news.
So, Bill, did you get the news release about Chris DeWitt joining the Rick Snyder campaign?
No. Chris DeWitt, did you say?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that goes right along with Sharon Ellis.
Well, you know what? That's interesting. Bill mentioned Sharon Ellis. Go ahead and explain Sharon Ellis, and then we'll talk a little bit about Chris, because I think the Chris DeWitt move is a shocker.
Yeah, it is a shocker. Well, no, we talked about Sharon Ellis a couple of weeks ago. She's a longtime Democratic Party operative, and she ran Tony Benavides' campaign against Bernero. I think the one that Tony Benavides won in 2005, but yeah, this would be a shocker with Chris DeWitt joining Snyder, and I don't quite understand, you know, why he would have necessarily an aversion to Bernero. I mean, he might find Snyder appealing, but why would he go to that extent of thumbing his nose at the standard bearer of the Democratic Party?
It really is a very, very interesting and quite stunning move because, you know, this is a man we're talking about, Chris DeWitt, who's right here in East Lansing, you know, longtime Democratic political, worked for Jennifer
Frank
Granholm,
Kelly.
Frank Kelly, et cetera. I mean, that's where he really cut his teeth. So for him to go over to Rick Snyder's campaign, it's one thing to keep your powder dry if you're not keen on the candidate your party has selected.
Pass,
but it's a whole other thing. Bill, you used the right phrase, thumb your nose at the Bernero campaign.
Right.
Woo.
Yeah, not good. Well, I mean, what is his role? Have they announced
Senior advisor is what I believe. I haven't even seen the news release, but as I was driving over to the studio, I had a couple of texts that I accidentally might have read while I was driving.
He likes working for the governor. He figures he's going to hedge his bets here and look at the polls.
You know, Bill, I don't know if you remember this or Jack, but this is actually something that Bernero may be somewhat familiar with because he hired Steve Sirkan when he ran for mayor against Tony Benavides. Then and Sirkan had worked for Benavides before. So it is sort of a what goes around comes around move, I guess, but at a much higher level.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But of course, those were nonpartisan races between two Democrats. This is a partisan race. With, you know, a crossover by a Democrat who, as you say, Kelly, he hasn't just been, you know, a spokesperson for, you know, Democrats, like, for instance, Liz Boyd was a spokesperson for Candace Miller, a Secretary of State, a Republican, and then went to work for Governor Granholm, a Democrat. But, I mean, DeWitt would be lined up in Michigan Information Research Service newsletter as the spokesperson for the Democratic Party, you know, touting the party line against people like Dan Perot, who was an Engler Republican operative. And for all of a sudden, Chris DeWitt say, I'm crossing over to help Rick Snyder. I mean, it's almost personal, it seems to me. I don't know if there's a backstory there. If there is, I don't know what it is.
We're going to have Chris DeWitt on this show and find out exactly what that story is, right?
I probably got his number let's track him down.
The handy-dandy BlackBerry here.
But, Bill, you're thinking that's a big deal, isn't it?
I think it's a big deal. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be a blow to Bernero. I mean, how does he explain this? I mean, really, of course, most people outside of political junkies like us in Lansing don't know who Chris DeWitt is, but it sends a real signal to interest groups and the political party power structures in Lansing and elsewhere when something like this happens. I mean, this is not, you know, all by itself. Sharon Ellis already has done this, and that got some comment. Now, this really ratchets it up, and, it, you know, all along people have been predicting there's going to be a Democrats for Snyder committee form. Well, if there is, I would imagine somebody like, you know, Chris DeWitt is going to be working on putting it together, and if it comes out with a lot of big names in a few weeks, that'll be still a bigger development in Snyder's favor.
When we talk about whatever aversion he might have to Virge Bernero or an affinity for Rick Snyder, something tells me if Mike Cox had won or Pete Hoekstra, he might not have made this move.
Well, I think you're right there. I mean, look, Snyder really has gotten away with murder being a nonpartisan so far. I mean, it's incredible the number of independents and people who were independent voting in the Democratic primaries or in the general election as Democrats in 06 and 08 who voted for Snyder in the Republican primary on August 3rd of this year. That, it was quite an achievement. And, you know, the message seems to be still out there that this is a guy who is really interested in, quote, reinventing Michigan, unquote, and getting the job done and isn't going to be partisan about it. And, you know, is willing to take on all sorts of people that he thinks could help him do that, regardless of party affiliation. I talked to a couple of Democratic lobbyists, prominent lobbyists, Kelly, whose names I must keep private right now, just last week, who said they'd love to give up everything they're doing right now and go to work in a Snyder administration. So
that's,
you know,
huge.
Some of that out there.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. There are people who are referred to as Dillon Democrats who I thought for the most part were keeping their powder dry. And Chris must be one of them who decided, oh, to heck with it. I'm going to go ahead and let my powder get wet, I guess, is the, this is a it really is a big deal. And again, it's quite a coup for the Snyder campaign. What I do think is interesting is, why would you announce it at 4:30 on Friday afternoon, which is apparently when the news release hit? Because that's generally when you put a news release out when you want to kill a story. And this is not a – I mean, this is a big deal, baby.
I have it right in front of me. I just got it here. Yeah, from Bill Nowling.
Kelly, you are absolutely right about that. You would notice it. And I agree with you 100%. It's kind of a curious time to do it. But that aside, you know, maybe they've got so many more like this coming along in the next few weeks that this is going to be, you know, one of a dime a dozen. I don't know.
Well, so a guy who's worked for Carl Levin, Frank Kelly, and Jennifer Granholm, as you say, you know, this is kind of a seismic shock. Here's his quote. Lansing is broken, and Rick is a proven jobs creator who has the best plan to turn our state around. I hope all Democrats and independent voters will put aside any partisan concerns and seriously look at Rick, at helping Rick reinvent Michigan.
Well, now, wait a minute. Doesn't it seem strange that he is, the first sentence in his quote is Lansing is broken, and yet he's been part of, in one way, shape, or form, the Granholm administration? What an unfair, I mean, that's really slamming the current governor who's been his bread and butter for many, many, many years.
Yeah, sounds like somebody is swinging a sledgehammer here,
I think the current governor got slammed a little bit by Bernero yesterday, Kelly, honestly, and this stuff about Wall Street. Look, I mean, it's the Granholm administration's Treasury Department that are engaged with Wall Street and investing money there. I mean, Bernero may be right, but it's not as though he's attacking a Republican administration for doing this.
It really is. I'm just sort of fascinated by the whole thing. I mean, this makes it really interesting now, don't you think? It's not like it wasn't interesting before, but now I want a reality TV show on this for the next, I don't know, what, 8-9 weeks? Is that how many weeks
ago? When you say interesting, there's interesting good and interesting bad.
I know what it is.
I think
it's a battle of the white guys.
Things got a lot less interesting than they've been here in the last few days. And your poll that you put out. Was that a Mark Grebner special, robo-poll?
Well, you know what? We have embraced robo-call polling. We teamed up with Team Telcom. We worked with the Grebner in terms of lists, the Rossman Group did, and I didn't even think to grab the release when I left, but, you know, Snyder is, what, 19, 20 points ahead?
Yeah,
it's about the same margin as all those conventional polls a week ago, but the interesting thing was that you did one on the Attorney General and the Secretary of State's race as well.
Oh, yeah, and I don't have the numbers
in front
of me.
And the Republicans are ahead there by 15 to 20 points.
You know, it's really interesting. I was surprised particularly with the Secretary of State in that Jocelyn Benson has really been out there quite a bit. Ruth Johnson's name has not been out there statewide for really quite a few years. She's the Oakland County Clerk, but, you know, her name was kind of out there statewide when she was a state rep going after intermediate school districts. But her name has hardly been a household name.
Well, yeah, but Kelly, seriously, you got to remember, Jocelyn Benson, I agree with you, is a very attractive candidate, and there's, you know, high hopes in the Democratic Party that she'll do well. We'll have to wait and see. But she's only lived in the state 5 or 6 years. She's never run for office before. She's never been on a ballot. In Lansing and among party delegates, we know who she is. But people don't know who Jocelyn Benson is. You can say they don't know Ruth Johnson either. I agree with you. She's not widely known, but she was on the statewide ballot in 2006 as lieutenant governor.
Oh,
she's been elected twice in the second biggest county in the state, Oakland County, as clerk. And so she's at least as well known as Jocelyn Benson. I would bet you anything, probably better known. But, you know, that's not really what it's all about. These polls are simply reflecting right now a national blowback, including Michigan, against the Obama administration and the Democratic Congress. And here in Michigan, we could say Jennifer Granholm, but I think even if Jennifer Granholm wasn't in office, there would be an undercurrent of anger and pushback against the Democrats nationally. I think that's what's happening.
And you know, when you talk about Jocelyn Benson not being known, she was a guest on the show the other day. I found her to be delightful. But how can she be known if 20-some percent of the people don't know Virge Bernero?
Well, that's absolutely right. Nobody really knows who she is. I mean, that would be interesting. I don't know whether, Kelly, you tried name ID on some of these people, but I bet you it's got to be extremely low.
Oh, I would expect. Now, you know, the one thing that came out in our poll that I thought was really interesting, we asked people to identify what party they were with, and it really split kind of a third, and a third, Democrat, Republican, Independent, with 5% of those folks identifying themselves as Tea Partiers.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually expected that the Tea Party would be a little bit stronger. I'm not sure what number I expected, but 5% seemed really low given all the high visibility of all their sort of antics.
Sure.
So, you know, I don't know whether when you know, how a robocall works is that you hear what you think is the right answer and you can go ahead and push a button and that gives you, you know, you push whatever one, whatever it is. And it may be that people just pressed Republican or Democrat too fast and then didn't ever hear the Tea Party identification. So I don't know whether if we just flipped it to the front of the list, it might have resonated a little bit more.
I think there's also some confusion, and we just saw that as part of, you know, this lawsuit that reached the Supreme Court today that threw the Tea Party off the ballot.
Right.
Who is the Tea Party? I mean, that's really a question, I think, in a lot of people's minds, even people getting your robocalls. I mean, somebody might have gone to a Tea Party rally, but would they identify themselves as a member of the Tea Party? There's the so-called Independent Caucus. There is the so-called 9-12 Committee.
Right.
You know, I talked to some people at the two state conventions this past weekend. They said here in Michigan there are 27 different Tea Party chapters, and even those people in those chapters have wildly different concepts of what they would like to see the Tea Party be or become, or whether they consider themselves really a member or whatever. So I think it's a kind of amorphous kind of, I'm not going to call it party, but entity right now. Mm-hmm. And it just is still finding its way along politically, and we'll have to see in November what kind of an impact it really may have.
Fascinating stuff. Bill Ballinger, the editor of Inside Michigan Politics, our guest. Bill, always great talking with you. We'll chat again next week.
My pleasure, Jack and Kelly.
See ya.
We will be right back with more. Jack Ebling here with Kelly Rossman McKinney. Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. This hour of Ebling and You is being brought to you exclusively by AT&T. Find out what's possible when you can record your shows and play them back in any room with AT&T Total Home DVR. AT&T, rethink possible.